Dr. Neelam Agarwal is a population health neurologist and clinical researcher in the field of longevity and aging. She's co-leader of NIA-funded Rush Alzheimer's Disease Center Clinical Core in Chicago, director of the Cardiocognitive Clinic at the Rush Heart Center for Women, and an associate professor in the Department of Neurological Sciences at Rush University Medical Center. What a pleasure it is to talk with you. Thank you for joining us today. What does it mean when our loved ones receive an Alzheimer's disease diagnosis?
The diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease means something very specific to physicians and especially neurologists, as we do quite a bit of the diagnosing of this disease. It means that there is a neurodegenerative process happening in the brain. It means that the brain now, in many cases and in many places, is really losing nerve cells, neurons. And this process is ongoing. It's a process that right now we don't have a cure to stop. It's a process that by use of medications we try to slow down, but it's really an underlying problem that is going on in the brain. One thing, Gary, I want to mention is that when you say Alzheimer's disease, it means that already the diagnosis of dementia was given. And this is really important, and for the readers and for everyone listening, this is an important point. You have to have a dementia first, a diagnosis of that, before you say you have Alzheimer's disease dementia. And you cannot have Alzheimer's disease dementia without having a dementia diagnosis first. So people get that confused. So dementia first, which is an underlying problem in thinking. Alzheimer's disease dementia is a type of a dementia, and that dementia really affects short-term memory first, but it's an underlying issue, an underlying problem with the brain.
I appreciate that. That's really an important question that comes up a lot for family caregivers, so thank you for that. We've been working hard over the past 20 years to help family caregivers understand the value proposition of clinical trials, and in fact, to demystify the phrase clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So now that I have you, what is a clinical trial, and why is it important for caregivers to know about them?
Well, I'm really appreciative that you asked that question, because it is an important topic to discuss. And traditionally, it has not been discussed in a general conversation around dementia, Alzheimer's disease. It's always been kind of the topic out there somewhere, where family members may come in and say, well, is there anything else we can do? Mom or dad is on a medication. What about these things called trials? So, simply put, a trial is a protocol. It is a project that is very heavily regulated and looked at regarding who can participate, when people can participate, what ages people can participate. But it's really trying to focus on, in the case of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, medicines that can slow down the process. So if someone comes in a trial, they may come in a trial for a new medication that is not on the market as yet. They would be asked to provide information about their age, of course, the sex of the individual, the diagnosis, any medical history, medications they're taking, et cetera. And based on those criteria, wherever the trial is conducted, at an academic center, it can be sometimes conducted in a physician office, or a trial center, which are quite popular in different areas of the country, people can be enrolled in a study. And a trial study can be used in the same sentence. Okay, it's the same thing. The key thing about trials, though, and I tell this to all my patients and families, is that it's a regulated type of a study, which means there are certain times when people have to come in, whether it be monthly, whether it be every 3 months. There is a certain protocol or a schedule when people come into a clinic. The questions are asked by research assistants. The doctor will be there who's conducting the trial to do an exam. There may be blood taken. There may be imaging, brain imaging done. And these are really following on a scheduled pattern. So people, when they come in, it's a commitment. And that commitment can be from 6 months. It can be up to 3 years. Sometimes the medication is given orally, sometimes it's given through an IV, but these are really important things to consider, especially in Alzheimer's disease, because many times people do say to me, it's the now what? we're on the medication, we're here, we're fine, but now what? And I often say the now what is a trial. It should be part of an Alzheimer's treatment plan to discuss trials in the future for a participant and a family member.
There's not a single drug out there that we take that hasn't gone through a clinical trial.
Absolutely, right. And, you know, and again, a very good point you're making, because sometimes people say, well, how do these drugs come on the market? Or why did this drug come on the market? Well, it came because it had to go through a trial. People went through a trial to see, is this drug worthwhile to come on the market? And if we don't have people participating in trials, we really can't push the field forward with new drugs coming out, because we don't have, number one, participation, but we don't have what I call the sample size. We don't have the number of people that you need to have in studies to see whether or not the drug is working. And the other thing I want to mention is that we do not have enough minorities participating in trials, and this has been a really chronic kind of a problem that we've had. And, you know, this is something that I'm very, very passionate about, getting people from different ethnic groups to participate. We need to have participation to understand whether the drugs are working the same in different ethnic groups. They may not, but we don't know those answers because we don't have the numbers for participation.
This is actually a very interesting time in Alzheimer's research. What are some of the latest developments in the field that you find exciting?
Well, I think, you know, two things that come to my mind right now that I find exciting, and one of them has to do with the technological advances that we have. So, you know, for many, many years, and again, many of the listeners will know this, that basically people essentially had to have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease made at autopsy. So when somebody died, we looked at the brain, and that was when the definitive diagnosis was made. Now, with neuroimaging, so MRIs or special scans called PET scans, PET scans, we're able to see changes already in the brain occurring years ahead of time. And especially with a PET scan, we're able to put a label or a tracer in the scan, in the body, and it basically binds the amyloid protein that we think is really causing a lot of the trouble with thinking. It's also binding another protein called tau. That seems to also be involved in memory issues. So now we're actually being able to see this occurring in people who are living and people who may be at risk for developing the disease. This is really changing how we look at the disease, how we talk about the disease. And what it's done, Gary, is that it's allowed us to start thinking about prevention. You know, with medicine, we are really pushing forward in the sense we have to talk prevention versus always treatment of disease. So Alzheimer's is no different. It's prevention. It's, can we prevent this from occurring? What should we be doing now so that the amyloid buildup isn't there or the tau buildup isn't there? And I think that is tremendously exciting because it gives people hope. It gives people kind of like, this is your assignment. This is what we're going to do. And it really allows doctors to speak in a whole different way about the disease now, more in a preventative kind of way, which is very positive for neurologists like myself, for physicians who are seeing people daily in their offices.
What role do you see the family caregivers playing when your patients come in to your practice?
Well, you know, the family caregiver, and this can't be stated enough, is so integral and so important into what I do every day. Not just by coming with the participant or patient to the clinic, but actually really talking to the caregiver, what their views are, their perceptions are, how they are doing. Not only are they taking care of somebody at home 24/7 every day, but they are also observing what is going on. And, you know, we in the past, we haven't really paid that much attention to how they're feeling. In order for a caregiver to really help me as a physician when they come into a clinic and provide me with answers about behavior, sleep patterns, change in eating, in order for them to do all that, they have to take care of themselves. And this is something I explicitly talk to them about privately. I tell all my caregivers, if you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of your father, your mother, your husband, etc. So please take care of yourself, and what should we do to help you take care of yourself? A lot of times the caregivers just say, I need a break.
Yeah. It's job one for any caregivers to learn how to care for themselves, because how can they care for their loved one if they fall apart?
Exactly.
You know, we take ourselves out of the circle of care as family caregivers, and our job
Absolutely.
Is to make sure they realize they need to be cared for too, for their sake and for the person they're caring for's sake.
Exactly.
You know, for the longest time, people were kind of concerned about stepping up and getting early detection of Alzheimer's disease, because the thought was, well, what would it help to know? But now it does make sense to have early detection. Why is that important? And what are the signs we should be looking for in ourselves and our loved ones?
Well, you know, and again, it comes back to the now what, right? So early detection, the next thing is going to be, okay, now what or so what? Some of my patients have said, so what? And, you know, I'm very big on those two phrases, because if you answer those phrases and if you can provide a reason why, people say, yes, now I understand. And one of the things I do tell everyone is, you know, many people know something's not quite right. And if you talk to them and really sit down and say, listen, how are you thinking? What's happening? Many people will come up and say, listen, I don't know what this is, but something's not quite right. And that can cause a lot of anxiety with people. And it's on the mind all the time. I say this all the time. You may not be saying it, but you're thinking it. And especially when there's Alzheimer's in the family, I've seen that the adult children, it's on the mind a lot. And just by the open discussion of, talk to me, what's happening, are you concerned, and then saying, here's what we can do. Here's some of the memory testing we can give. Here is some of the blood work that we should look at. Here is a potential of getting an imaging scan done. A lot of times alleviates that anxiety. And that anxiety is there. And that concern is there. And I think that is one of the driving reasons I tell everyone, if you're not sure, get it checked out. If I already see some changes that I think could be the early signs of the disease, which, by the way, are short-term memory loss, getting turned around, getting confused in, you know, directions, getting lost with people, like that never happened before. But if you already see those signs occurring and checking it out, we can then put things in motion to rule it in or rule it out.
Have you found anything that we can do in changing our lifestyle that could help prevent the disease?
What's good for your heart is good for your head. That should be in everybody's mind. Whatever, if you do something that's good for your heart health, your cardiovascular health, eating right, exercising, no smoking, don't develop diabetes, but if you have it, keep the sugars under control. Those kinds of things that are good for heart health are going to help your brain. The second message is, in addition to eating right and physical activity, which, by the way, walking is the best activity you can do, and walk as much as you can, as often as you can, and at the speed that you can. It is so important for people to just really start walking. You have to get your stress under control. This is so, so, so important for brain health. And what's happening and what we're finding is uncontrolled stress or negative stress, bad stress, really basically the brain takes a hit. And it takes a hit in the sense that the brain, you don't think as clear as you should. You don't make good decisions. You become forgetful. And not only that, it feeds into changes in sleep. It feeds into changes in mood. It's just a really vicious cycle if you don't understand your stress levels and how to relieve the stress. And it's come to a point, Gary, where I tell everybody, especially when they come in for cognitive concerns, how are we doing with the stress? And almost everyone says, I could be doing better.
What would the one most important piece of advice you'd have to offer a family caregiver?
Well, I think a couple pieces of advice for the family caregiver. The first thing is, when you are taking care of someone with Alzheimer's disease, you are a student. And what I mean by that is, I would challenge all our caregivers, ask. I need you to ask. I need you to ask physicians, people that are also doing similar things, how do they do this? Did this help? Did this not help? What's the latest going on in the research world and also in the treatment world? Because when you ask, you know, you begin to learn what else is out there. The biggest thing, Gary, that my concern is with caregivers is they feel isolated. They feel isolated. They feel out of mainstream. Many of them really say that they just feel alone out there, alone with what they're doing. And sometimes it's just because of the sheer being tired, but a lot of times people don't ask. So first of all, ask. You're wanting to know what's the latest. Is there a trial available? Is there something that I can get involved with? And this is one of the nice benefits of a trial. When people come into a trial, any type of trial for Alzheimer's disease, they get attention because of the trial. They're visits that are regular. Caregivers have often said to me that their stress levels have gone down because they're getting information at each visit from the trial. They're able to talk about what's going on. So whether it be a trial to prevent Alzheimer's, whether it be a trial that are the trials that are coming out with add-on therapies to Alzheimer medicines, I'm encouraging caregivers to keep asking about learning about the disease, but also consider participating in a trial. The other thing I'm going to ask caregivers to do, always keep yourself front and center. Again, I can't stress this enough. You are integral to everything. And if you keep yourself healthy as best as you can and ask people for help when you need it and seek out situations where this would help me, I need some help here, your health will be positively affected and it's going to help your loved one. Your loved one will respond better to you when you are also in check and when you are doing the best you can. And then the last thing for caregivers is, you know, the typical sleep and nutrition. You have to sleep and you have to eat. And that's something that people forget about. They just keep go, go, go. But again, it's really important for your own thinking, your own ability to function. You need to do both, and both are going to impact your cognitive health.